I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Are you PNLP? This is the Premier Non-League Podcast.
Welcome to episode 48 of the Premier Non-League Podcast, and for the first time in God knows how long, we have a full house tonight. Trev, Pete, Gaz, Chris, and myself, James. How are we all doing, guys? Nice to see you all back in the room.
Nice to see you, James. I forgot who you were.
Yeah. Ditto, mate. Ditto. Ditto. How are we all doing, though?
It's been so apart quiet, hasn't it, Trev?
Oh, here we go. Quiet, here's the bloody abuse. Here we go. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah. Blah. Finished?
Yep.
I can't say anything because I've been here even less than you have.
So. For now, anyway. lots to talk about, guys. There's been a hell of a lot going on in the world of non-leagues, from promotions to manager changes to new clubs emerging to all sorts going on. Busy few weeks, hasn't it been? I don't know where we should start off, really. I think, obviously, last episode, we were celebrating the fact that South Shields finally got promoted. And as we said, Trevor hasn't had a chance to congratulate. And we finally said, the question had changed from, Chris, will Kevin Phillips be South Shields' manager next season? What happened about 3 days after he released? Maybe not even that.
Wasn't even that. It was immediately after full time in the last game of the season, and the announcement was made. It's kind of a shock in the sense of the timing, literally, you know, 5 o'clock.
I was going to say, was that just like a, you know, a real kick in the teeth? You've just had your last game of the season. You're in the bar whistle, and then he's gone.
Yeah, the final whistle literally blew, and within seconds, the announcement was made. Kind of a shock in that sense, not a shock in the sense that he's gone.
Well, you said in our group, didn't you, like just on the WhatsApp, you said you'd heard inklings for bits. We didn't want to know if it was true or not.
Yeah, I was given, I was told by a manager from the Northern Premier League that it was common knowledge that Kevin was going to the Football League. I don't quite think that was true at the time. What has come out is the fact that he wanted more money in the budget for next year's transfer dealings and wages. And the chairman wasn't prepared to give him it, so they've decided to amicably shake hands. I'm not sure amicably will be the case. There's always three sides to a story, so I don't think there's been any real falling out, but unfortunately, Kevin's gone. And sadly for me, and probably a lot of other supporters, Wes Brown has gone as well, his assistant. Wes is a South Shields boy and spent 6 years at the club as an academy coach and then assistant manager. So that's the sad part for me. Is Wes is no longer there.
Was he around the bar or anything, Kevin, after the game? Like, was he just literally left the stadium straight away almost? Or was
In the scene, was at Stafford. Now he lives not far from Stafford, so probably just gone home. He lives in Staffordshire, so he was home. So it was quite a shock for the players, I think. But it's kind of a shock and not a shock. He did a good job, in my view. Could he have done better? Yes, I think he could. People say, well, you've won the league, but we probably could have won it a little bit easier. If the truth be known, sometimes his tactics were a bit negative for my liking, probably for a lot of other people's liking. And the squad of players that he had perhaps could have got a little bit more out of them, but that's splitting hairs. He's done a good job. But he's gone now, and he's odds on to go to Walsall. He only lives 20 minutes from there, so...
It's got a bit quiet of the news, hasn't it, recently?
Yeah,
lots of murmurings when he left, and then it's just gone dead quiet.
It's still on. believe you me, it's still on.
Yeah.
Because one of the rumours I heard was Sally Hall Moores.
That was what I got told Football League. Then I was told by a good source, Hartlepool United, who are no longer Football League. And then I was told it was Solihull Moors. Again, he lives in the Midlands. He lives in Staffordshire. So in that, you know, he's within a 20-mile radius, he could take his pick of clubs, really. But Walsall's the odds on, and I would still say that is the case. I would still say that is the case.
How did you deep down feel, though? Like, I know, were you really, truly upset, or was it a bit of a weird mixed emotion? Like,
yeah, the latter. Weird mixed emotion, but I'm certainly not upset. Thankful what he's doing. He's done a good job, and I make sure my thanks are passed on to him. But
You failed in your mission to get him on the podcast, for God's sake. You literally, I think you knew about it, didn't you? That's what you were doing. You were just mugging us off all along. Oh, no, he's not going to be non-league next season. He can't be in a non-league podcast.
What I would say is that there are people out there, and I include friends of mine in that, and relatives who felt that he was never the right fit for the club anyway. So they are certainly shedding no tears. And the appointment of Julio Arca is, I wouldn't say it's a masterstroke.
Well, I was going to say he's a club legend, isn't he?
He's an absolute legend. There's a bar named after him, you know. So that alone is a good appointment for him, in the sense he's probably got a bit of leverage, got a bit of rope to, you know, to hang on to if things didn't quite go right early on, because he is so highly regarded. He's massively loved. He's almost worshipped at the place. So he's got that automatic time, I think, to get himself bedded in. But the appointment of Arca, for me, it's the appointment of Tommy Miller as his assistant, which is equally as important, because Tommy's got National League North experience.
Does it worry you that it's his first sort of real management job? And, you know, he's a club legend, and, you know, often club legends don't often translate into on the management side and the playing side, you know. So, you know, could his reputation be tarnished a little bit? You've seen it happen at lots of clubs where you think, you know, they should have. I mean, look at Frank Lampard, for example. I don't think his reputation is completely tarnished, but he's not done it as a manager as he did as a player. And, you know.
Well, his reputation is unraveling before our eyes, isn't it?
So, yeah.
Kind of. There's always a risk with any appointment. Kevin Phillips was his first managerial role. He'd only been the coach before that. Julio has been coaching at Sunderland Academy. He coaches with, ironically, the former Shields manager who actually brought him to South Shields as a player, John King. He's been coaching with John. He was, I don't know whether he's finished it, but he's been in the middle of his UEFA A licence course. He's got his B licence already. So he knows how to coach players. Management's a different kettle of fish. But of course, as I say, the appointment of Tommy Miller, who was assistant manager to Jason Ainsley at Spennymoor for a number of years. He's actually managed Spennymoor for a little bit, which didn't go well. But he's got that knowledge of the league, which is, I think, is a great appointment. I think it just gives Julio that little bit of knowledge of the league that he might not have ordinarily had.
So, Chris, do you think how long do you think they'll give him? Like, you know, if you're sitting rock bottom of the National North by sort of October, November time, do you think they'll give him time, or do you think you think he's... Yeah. That's what would be interesting, because as we said about the club legend, the status like that, it might give him a little bit more time than the usual people. But if you're sitting rock bottom, say, by Christmas, do you think he'll be a goner?
No, I don't. Unless the team have been stinking the place out, which... I don't think it's going to happen. Got to remember that the recruitment that was done last summer was done with a view to National League North level. You know, that's what I've said earlier about Kevin. Could we have won the league better? We could. Probably with that squad of players, should have won the Northern Premier League by 12 to 15 points. And that's not being over the top either. So, you know, most of the recruitment last year, most of the lads that came in had Football League experience, and some of whom have played their whole careers in the Football League. So that's what I'm saying. Kevin probably was a bit negative at times for supporters like him. Julio will definitely play a good brand of football. And I don't think... I don't want to sound arrogant, but I can't see Shields being rock bottom, if I'm honest. That squad of players is good enough. There's no doubt in my mind.
Well, you've got a budget, and you look what we did. You know, well, it's all right.
Well, the budget, there's no secret. The budget, the Kevin Phillips, the reason he wanted more. He wanted another 150. He wanted another £150,000 in the budget, which would take it to £750,000.
Bloody hell.
So a £600,000 budget ain't no bad, is it?
No, so, not at all.
When you consider that clubs like Gloucester are going back to part-time,
Then
there's no reason why South Shields can't compete at National League North level already. I'd be surprised, not shocked, but I'd be slightly surprised if we weren't in the playoff hunt.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a nice predicament to have. It's a nice predicament to have.
Yeah,
isn't it nice that you're talking about what could happen in National League North, and you know you're going into the unknown, a new manager and a new league. As you said, you're full time. So you know, again, I think next season you'll find it will be a scalp for other teams around you to like beat South Shields in the National League North, and it'll be a nice predicament to see. You know, if you should be that confident. I mean, as Pete will go on to talk about it later on, we've sort of said we were this time last year. If we said we'd finish fourth in the National League South, being knocked out in the semi-finals of the playoffs with the budget we had, I think we'd been laughing, but we did it.
Yeah, but I told you, you'd make the playoffs.
Yeah, you did.
You had such a good start. Points in the bag means a hell of a lot. And you've got a good manager, you're well organised. Yeah.
Chris, I am absolutely shocked at that figure that you've just mentioned for a budget, to be honest.
It's crazy, yeah.
Because I think we operate under...
What, the one that Kevin Phillips wanted or the actual budget they've got, Pete?
The actual one they've got. I think we operate under £100,000 a year.
I think something budget. Like that, yeah.
Well,
it's ridiculously low.
We're not, as far as I know, not even in the top three mind of the National League North.
Yeah.
So although you mentioned this word scalp there, in National League North, there are other six-figure budgets and there's a seven-figure budget as well. So Shields are no longer the biggest spenders in the league they're in, which is bizarre. But there are three, four, maybe five other clubs spending more money. How? I don't know, by the way.
Well, if we had your budget, we've had a Minshew, would be Premier League club.
All right, Pete. It's been Premier League.
You'd certainly been against Charlton, wouldn't you?
Yes, mate. Yeah. Well, mate, I fully expect that to happen over the next few years anyway. I'm not even joking. It'll happen. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, Chris. It's going to be interesting to see. And, you know, we've got one episode before the end of, we call it a summer season. And I think it'll be interesting to see where you are and what's happening. But, you know, all we can think is good luck. We're obviously rooting for you, as we know. And, you know, maybe we can pray for that FA Trophy draw sometime when it goes into non-regional areas. When does it go non-regional again, guys? I can't remember. Is it sort of... Third round, is it?
You're coming down south anyway, aren't you? Coming to Stortford.
He's got that lot. Yeah, we'll have to try. Imagine that weekend we could be playing Braintree or something. We might have to have a little overnight or something like that. That would be good, wouldn't it? Braintree versus...
We'll meet up at Stansted Airport.
Yes, mate. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But moving on to sort of other things. Trev, you experienced playoff football this summer as well. Didn't go quite right. What were your thoughts of Barnet in the playoffs this year?
Oh, that's a bit of a bonus, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, brilliant. what a brilliant season you've had, Trev.
Oh, marvellous. On a budget not much more than what Kevin Phillips is asking for in the National League North.
Yeah, true.
Absolutely.
So were you disappointed, Chris?
I was going to say, you know, the gig that Kevin had, what a gig. At that level, Northern Premier League.
Yeah. That budget.
With a budget nigh on that. What a gig. You won't get a better gig than that pound for pound anyway, I don't think.
No, exactly. Yeah, especially even if he went to Walsall. It's not exactly going to blow anything out of the water there. Nice little stadium, to be fair, mind, but it'd be interesting. Trev, you were 2-0 down. You got it back to 2-1. Did you think you could go on, or did the team just not perform well that night? Were you frustrated, or was it just sort of ran out of a bit of oomph?
I wasn't frustrated. Dean was afterwards because not enough players turned up to the party. We had four that we counted that played well.
Yeah.
Seven just didn't turn up on what was the biggest night. But like quite a few games we've had this season, we had enough chances to win four games. But
yeah.
you give them, you give Boreham Wood a 2-goal head start, and unless you're Notts County, you're not going to overturn it.
No.
Simple as that. But they were two crappy goals as well we gave away, really. But I'm not disappointed because we're 12 months in front of where we should be. That's where
yeah.
I'll be this time next year.
What do you think it could go on to like next season? What are your hopes? Like, I mean, we obviously do a pre-season and everything like that, but you know, leading from that playoff defeat, do you have good faith in next season already?
Oh yeah, we've got we only had to release 6
yeah
this summer compared with 12 or 14 last summer. That's yeah. a difference.
That's a huge difference.
Excuse me, if Tony ups the budget by 400 grand, then we're in a title race next year. Simple as that.
Willie though.
Huh?
Willie though.
Well, if you look at this year, you would say he's been sensible in not splashing a stupid budget like Chesterfield, Woking, one or two others have, chasing two sides you were never going to catch. Take this out of the equation. At one stage, Chesterfield and Woking and Barnet would have been in the title race, simple as that.
Yeah.
This time next year with budgets is going to be far, far closer. It really is. As a two or three clubs that will chop theirs from what they've had this year because they're losing investment. So that takes them out of the equation a little bit. And it depends whether someone like Chesterfield wants to go and blow a silly budget, but on the guarantee that they're not going to finish first. They might not even finish winners of the playoffs because
yeah.
you've lost the circus. You've lost a side that plays really good football and deserve to go up as well with them. It's going to be far, 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 far more even. Really is.
You must be glad those two teams are gone, though, Notts County and Wrexham.
I'm glad the circus has gone. Got absolutely nothing against Wrexham. I've said this many times across social media, but the whole entourage that follows them, I'm glad it's someone else's problem. Mm.
We won't have to talk about them again on this podcast because they're not non-league anymore.
Exactly,
but,
yeah.
but the thing is I mean, you know, we said on the last episode that you weren't here, and I said to Pete, I was like, I used to feel very strongly about you, but after watching the Disney Plus documentary about Wrexham and everything, I have warmed to them a little bit, but I know what you mean about the whole circus.
Yeah, it's the fairy tale, the underdog, whatever. I'm not being funny, but I've had a few disagreements with in our bloggers group this week about Phil Parkinson getting manager of the year. Not being okay. funny, but anybody should have won the league with that budget and the players he's got.
Yeah,
you know, someone like a Dean Brennan. That took us from 18th to 5th in a year.
So oh, mate, he's done a brilliant job. Like, it's frustrating, yeah.
Someone like Stuart Maynard, who's kept Wildstone, they were touching the playoffs, don't know how many times, as a part-time team, of one of, what, 3 or 4 in that division. That's who you pick as a manager of the year, not someone that's got the budget the size of a small country.
Got the budget to bring in a Premier League goalkeeper with exactly. 7 games to go.
Yeah, you know, it's just... that's what annoyed a lot of people as well, more than anything else. So no one, you know, they deserve to go out. They've been in the league 15 years, but yeah. they've had to spend their way to get out of it. People have got more respect for County, I think, just yeah. because they haven't got that.
And County nearly cocked it up twice, didn't they?
They did.
They did it the hard way. I mean, but the thing is about Wrexham, I think the problem is with them is that they've, I think they invested, but obviously all the documentaries, all the social media, like things like Ben and all that lot, it's almost paid itself off. Do you know what I mean? Like all the money they've got for it. I think it was one of the most watched documentaries in America on Disney Plus this past year. It's crazy to think. And that's put a lot of money back to the Wrexham FC.
As long as it goes into Wrexham as a community and not just into the club to bring more Ben Fosters in. I didn't like the Ben Foster transfer whatsoever because they had a goalkeeper there in Mark Howard who played 35 games. And everyone was like, oh, Ben Foster's our saviour. He got us promoted. No, he didn't. Your goalkeeper that was there for 35 games got you promoted. Yeah. And then was just dropped to the bench.
So it's that Hollywood smokescreen they've kind of done again and brought it in. Yeah. I mean, did anyone, has he ever, of course he hasn't come out, but you know, you'd love to know what he deep truly thinks about that because he must have been really peed off with that.
He's got his own podcast, doesn't he? And he says that he was happy about it, but I don't think anyone will really
he's not
know.
Gonna say it, no.
I don't think anyone will really ever know whether he was happy about it or not.
Well, if he leaves, we'll have to try and pester him to come on the podcast. And see what he actually, what, give us an exclusive. What did you say? No, Trevor, it's good to see. Like, hopefully we can try and get up to Barnet again next season, because I did like that last game as he went last year. Pete can go friend spotting again with Marvin playing for you again. He can wear his Grafton t-shirt this time. Do you think Marvin, talk about Marvin, do you think he's one for, do you think he'll cement himself in the team next season? Do you think, have you been impressed from what you've seen of him?
Yeah, well, I've seen enough of him anyway before before he got to Barnet. So the fact he's played, I can't remember. I was listening to our Beast Pod podcast late last week. So they did a nice 2-hour one. I can't remember what they said Marvin's stats were for how many games he's played this year. I'm sure it's over 20 he's featured in, which was far more than he should have done because he's here for next year. He's next year's Ryan de Havilland.
Yeah.
Well, this year's Ryan de Havilland.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if this time next year he's looking at a transfer into the Football League. So that's what Ryan's looking at this summer.
And just while we wrap up about Barnet, could I ask? Go, Pete.
I was just going to say, let's hope Marvin doesn't kill anyone next year, like he nearly killed the Dorking player.
Oh, Ed Harris, yeah, that was superb. Yeah. That was absolutely superb. Yeah,
he nearly decapitated him.
If Ed Harris had jumped off the floor and made it a challenge, that's why he got pole axed, because Marvin jumped for the ball. Quite simple. And watching Mark's reaction.
Yeah, Mark's reaction was brilliant.
So funny, because he was just going, I'm like, what? Yeah, I'm thinking, actually, I disagree with you on that one, Mark. Watch it back. Ed Harris actually jumps instead of just standing there watching the ball, like a deer in headlights. Wouldn't have ended up pole-axing out of the game in the first minute.
And just to wrap it up, on the note, Peter would be quite like, because he's one of their models. How many Barnet squad has been infiltrated with the Grafter brand yet? Have you seen many of them walking out the stadium wearing Grafter?
Do you know what? When we went up for our sponsors day for sponsoring Harry Pritchard back in September, none of them knew that Marvin had got the clothing range at all. None whatsoever. Well, until I mentioned it, while we were all in the bar and some of them were having breakfast and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I spoke to Dean about it afterwards. He had no idea either. But that's what he's got as well. So I don't know whether any of the players have got into it now, you know, a few of them knew what it does. I've no idea.
Yeah, and if those listening, Grafter is the brand that Marvin, it's his sort of livelihood, I think, isn't it? And yeah, there you go. Pete's put a picture of him and Worthing manager Adam Hinchwood in a Grafter t-shirt hoodie. And as I said, Pete's one of their model. But you should have seen the Worthing scrub and Marvin was there. Pretty much every one of them were wearing Grafter things on nights out. Like when we won the trophy last season, weren't it, Pete? Like how many had... I mean, Pete ran down the club in, run down the Manushka bar in Worthing wearing a Grafter top after we won against Potter's Bar, didn't you? Not Potter's Bar, Bowers.
Bowers.
Yeah.
Just for a record, this isn't an advert for Grafter, just in case anyone's
listening. Grafter X PNLP. We can have a new range next season.
Other brands are available.
Other brands are available. What's the one that Joel Colbrand tried to do that nothing sold because his overpriced t-shirts or something?
I don't know.
I can't remember. Didn't kick off like Grafter. Anyway, moving on. Yeah, wicked. Good, strong end to the season there, Trev. Hope it can be taken on to next season. And I guess, Pete, we really should touch on our playoff run because it was heartbreaking, but we weren't ready yet.
It wasn't.
It was heartbreaking. We were happy we were there.
We were disappointed. But
yeah,
we didn't have a goalkeeper.
No. Oh, God, that goalkeeper. Bloody hell. I'm not going to slag him off because it's not fair on the guy, but why we didn't play our youth goalkeeper that came on and like saved the penalty to win us a Sussex Cup, God only knows.
Maybe he had a family birthday party being a Sunday.
Maybe had school exams on Monday or something.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, absolutely.
Quite a few of them have had exams lately in the academy team.
Didn't you say, Trevor, your stepdaughter started her GCSEs today, really, didn't she? You said on Facebook.
Stepdaughter, I haven't got one of them yet.
Well, what you know, yeah. Stepdaughter-ish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Girl,
yeah,
what would you call it? What would you call a stepdaughter of someone that's like daughter?
Really.
Girlfriend's daughter, I think like that you'd say.
Yeah,
but
yeah, they've all stayed.
Yeah. He's ready made family.
Yeah. Second family.
Yeah, they've so exams have started, so you never know, it could have been that thing. But I mean, I have to feel sorry for the guy because he hadn't played in the squad, but you know, couple of howlers cost us a game, and you know, we should have been 1-0 down very quickly because he kind of watched the ball go past him. But yeah, the Oxford player, I don't know what he did, he scuffed the ball and missed an open goal. So if we didn't know that was a thing to come, I don't know what we did. I think
he was very much a step four goalkeeper, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's what you said, Trev, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I think as well, I mean, he's probably had what, 2-3 weeks without playing since Lansing finished season as well. I mean, I know you're not going to go rusty in 3 weeks, but again, you step up two levels and you've not played for 3 weeks. You know, you are.
And it, and it, yeah, and it was and a big occasion.
Yeah,
and a big occasion.
Big crowd. I mean, he's probably he's probably played in front of bar probably Chatham and Beckenham. Other than that, he wouldn't have played in crowds more than about 400 all season. Yeah. So,
and you think was Adam maybe risking it in the sort of way Adam Hinchel with the gaffer, like thinking, oh, he might want to prove himself, so he's going to have a blinder. He's going to have one of the best games he's ever had in his life to try and prove himself to Hinch and, you know, Worthing. But
was anyone else available, though?
Yeah. How late did Harrison get injured? Like, how late was it before he was available?
You might know that. Did you know any insightful information about Harrison's injury?
Well, he got injured against Tamworth Hempstead on the
Wednesday night.
It was the
Saturday before the playoff.
Yeah, and then he played against Braintree in the playoff game. And I think he must have aggravated it that night. I don't think he really should have been playing.
And you know he would have been playing in the semi-final.
Yeah,
I
think it's an abductor muscle. So basically, if he had took the chance on that Sunday at Oxford and it had gone badly for him, and he pulled that muscle, he could have been out for 4 months.
Right.
So they decided the best course was it just wasn't worth the risk.
Yeah.
Just wasn't worth the risk of him actually playing, because he would have took a chunk out of next season as well. So,
and I genuinely think that was one of our weak links. It really genuinely was, because the organisation he provides for. I mean, Gaz, you watched it on TV, didn't you? You watched it on the stream. Like,
yeah.
What did you think from an outsider's point of view, like watching it from the TV broadcast? Oxford were the better team on a day, but I didn't think there was much in it in terms of, like, they weren't like they were as didn't good as they like were that. When they played us. No. Earlier in the season,
it didn't look like that on the stream. It looked like Worthing just didn't turn up. Genuinely, really?
You're a Worthing fan.
From what I was watching, it genuinely looked like Worthing didn't turn up.
Yeah,
I think what you've got to do, you've got to praise Oxford for the way they play and the way they set themselves out. Because as soon as, you know, having been there twice, the first time we lost 3-0 and then losing that game 2-0, when they lose the ball, they immediately just sort of box you in and go man for man.
Yeah.
And they'd literally close down all the space, and you've got, you know, Worthing like a free flowing open passing game, and they'll move into space. But Oxford done such a good job of closing that space. We couldn't make opportunities. We had plenty of the ball, but we couldn't make any chances. And the chances they had, they stuck them away. So, you know, fair play to Oxford. Congratulations on their promotion as well.
Yeah, they won promotion.
Yeah, I watched the highlights.
Smashed them, didn't they? Smashed St Albans, didn't
well,
they?
Well, it was all over after half an hour.
But one thing again, I wanted to...
They've got Josh McEachran in their midfield. He should be playing in the league.
Josh is his brother.
Sorry. Zach McEachran,
He's been called. Trevor, you realise he was calling him that the whole game?
Yes, it is Zach.
Were you calling him that the whole game?
Yeah, Josh is his brother.
No,
he used to be at Chelsea.
Yeah,
and
Zach McEachran.
Was supposed to be the next big thing in midfield, wasn't he?
Zach McEachran. Anyway, regardless of his name, Zach McEachran, he should be playing in the Football League.
Yeah, he's a very good player.
He's just a quality. That's three times I've seen him this season, and every time I'm like, I wouldn't mind him in our team.
Yeah, they might keep him now. So, Trevor, you were going to say something there. You had your hand up.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the only thing that disappointed me watching it was the front two. They were just, you know, bar the first 5 minutes where I think it could have been 2-2 after about 6 or 7 minutes.
Well, Ollie missed a sitter, really, didn't he?
Yeah. But both of them just disappeared from the game. And I think that's what made it hard, as Pete said. When they went man for man, you had no outlet ball, because as soon as it went forward, it wasn't sticking anywhere. You know, and even when Adam made changes. But again, the experience of them, you know, being in the National League South for as long as they have as well, another learning curve for Worthing, getting that high, you know, bit similar for Barnet, us being as high as we were this year. You've then got to go and do it again next season, the acid test.
Hopefully it'll give us a bit of an experience. I mean, one of the things I did mention about going to that playoff semi that I didn't like was, and you know, fair play, it's their home ground where Oxford placed us. Have you been to Oxford Stadium, Gaz and Trev? Like,
no.
Basically, where they put us, obviously, they segregated the stadium, which I'm not sure they entirely knew to do, but it's probably because they knew Worthing would travel well. They wanted to keep, like, you know, more of a home advantage. But where they put us in the stadium was a corner, and the corner was sunk. So people, unless you were in the front row, you couldn't really see the game. Now, with 550 fans in there, it just wasn't good organising, and they caused a few problems with some of the fans. I mean, you've got some idiots that follow Worthing, as we all know, Pete. We know the same people starting on a low 10-year-old kid.
But yeah.
That's another story.
But the little kiddie from Oxford, it was a 10-year-old kiddie. Who I saw, and he's got an Oxford United shirt on, and he's standing. There's a little gap in the segregation. There's just two little barriers with Stuart in between, and this Oxford fan. I could see him from the stand while I was commentating. Yeah,
they should have kicked him
off at the Worthing fans, and then they went 2-0 up, and then one of the Oxford fans, a little kiddie again, decides to launch a bottle into the Worthing fans,
and they weren't kicked out.
And you're like, what's going on here? And so then there was a missiles going between the fans. It calmed down after a couple of seconds. I think they ran out of bottles to throw.
Well, Pete, did you not hear the reason they didn't kick them out? It's because they thought they were kids, so they can't really do anything. Well, no, you kicked them out about that.
Yeah, I heard that.
But anyway, I mean, it is what it is. It was disappointing. I thought the setup of the playoff semi was quite poor, but it is what it is. Luckily, I saw the game, and you know, it was a good experience. It felt like bloody Costa del Oxford that day, didn't it? It was boiling hot that day.
It was a beautiful day.
It was like a really lovely day, and I don't have a tape. But yeah, on to next season. I'm excited if we can keep on to. Hopefully, it won't be a case of Chris that we're saying, Chris, will we keep Adam Hinshelwood? Because I'm sure he loves the club. He will stay, I'm sure, if he can. But, you know, with any manager, he wants to do it as his game. If someone came in and was tempted and he made an offer, I did say to his wife after the game, said, please, can you make sure you hang up any calls from agents or some clubs asking if they want to speak to him? And she's like, make sure. I'm not moving from Worthing, she said.
No, he's got a year left on his contract.
I know, but
I think Adam's the sort of chap. He's moved to Brighton, to Worthing. His kids are in school down here, and I think he will honour the last year of his contract.
Hey, Trev, you sort of said that. Do you think? Yeah, Trev.
Yeah,
do you think,
I know what you're saying, Trev. Yeah.
Do you think he could be tempted away if the right offer came in? You know Hinch as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but I mean, there isn't. To be fair, there's not a lot of vacancies in the National League at the moment. Depends who starts. Who starts well and who starts badly next year, I think, will be the acid test more than anything else. There'll be a few under pressure right from the beginning, to be fair. So, could happen.
Yeah.
Could not.
It'll be interesting to see. I'm sure we'll know when we do our summer special if there's anything to do. But, Gaz, last but not least, any updates from you? What games have you been going to see lately? You gave me a bit of stick for going to games other than Worthing, didn't you? You were quite impressed.
Well, no, I was just shocked, mate. I wasn't impressed. I was just shocked.
Chris, you never get this level of abuse, do you, for going to Shields and only
just
Shields?
Just get the abuse at
home. Yeah, I went to the Southern Combination Div 1 playoff with Trev, and it got a little bit spicy, went a little bit viral on Twitter. For a sketchy challenge in injury time.
Sketchy.
But you know what? From the actual Your Instant Replay highlights, the challenge doesn't look that bad.
Yeah.
But from the angle that the video that went viral, and it looks horrendous. Obviously, it was right in front of me and Trev were sat. I put a little video up of the afters as well, and that went a little bit crazy. But it was a bad challenge, and there's no justifying it, was it?
Getting the PNLP out there, mate. That's what you're doing, aren't you?
Is he in prison yet?
I get the impression he's had to lock down his Twitter account because some of the abuse that he was getting.
Oh, really?
So, but no, that's the only game I've been to. Really, been a little bit busy with new baby coming very soon.
Yeah, of course,
and that sort of thing.
If you haven't heard Gaz much, if you haven't heard Gaz on the podcast much lately, it's going to happen a hell of a lot more often next season, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to hit 50 games for the season on Sunday in the FA Vars.
Are you going to the RUR tomorrow?
I thought it's Thursday. That's what the non-league.
Thursday, mate. Sorry,
I don't know. Don't know.
I'm going. Chris. No, not you, Chris. Rock. You're not the only Chris in the world. Sorry, mate. You're my only Chris. You're the only Chris in my life. But, you know, we have other Chris's in the podcast. Chris, obviously, the manager of Broadway Chief, he came to PNLP Live. He's obviously in the final. That leads us on quite nicely to a special guest we've got today. He's talking about abuse there, Gaz. And you're talking about, Broadway Chief. We're joined by Ross Butterfield, who came to the PNLP Live a few weeks ago. And Trev sat down with us all just to speak to him a little bit earlier on tonight.
RUPNLP.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
We're joined this evening by Ross Butterfield from Tackle This Together. Now, Ross came to our live podcast at Horsham a few weeks ago, so he's known to all of us bar Chris at the moment. So Chris is having a good look at the screen, wondering who the hell he is.
Trev, I'll pause you there as well. He actually heard it and knows it's not a fake thing. We actually did do a real podcast.
That's true,
We haven't released it. He's actual proof that we did a podcast live.
And that's the reason that we got him on anyway.
I saw number 47 in the flesh.
Ross, do you want to just explain to everyone who you are and the journey you're undertaking at the moment?
Yeah, and obviously, first of all, thanks for having me on. And it was great to see the live podcast. And I look forward to the next one because of being there and witnessing it. It was such a good evening. So thanks for having me along as well. It was really cool to be there. So, brief background for myself, first of all, I've been involved in grassroots and non-league football, I guess we can say 33, 35 years, right? Because I'm 40 and I started playing when I was five and have always been involved. So that's as a player. And then as a coach and a committee member. And more recently, over the last 7 to 10 years, I've been a coach over at Horsham initially, Horsham Football Club, who've obviously got a great youth set up there, working with their youth sides, then their under-23s. And I'm now at Broadbridge Heath in West Sussex, who, of course, have just been promoted as well, winning the league. So good times over there. And thank you very much. And Got the cup final tomorrow as well, so let's see if we can do the double. But that's kind of my grassroots journey. And, you know, I've also personally, during that time and quite recently, suffered from some mental health and wellbeing problems. And also I noticed some of the players at some of the clubs I've been involved also suffering. And obviously this isn't uncommon. So I kind of started to think about how can we start to raise the awareness around mental health and wellbeing in grassroots clubs, because of having been involved in clubs for that period of time, it kind of really jumped out at me that a lot of clubs, they don't, there's not conversation about it at the club. People don't talk about it and there's not a lot of awareness about it. And obviously having gone through those kind of experiences myself and witnessing others, I kind of felt the need to change that. So I embarked on the journey of launching Tackle This Together.
So what was your aim? Is it based solely around the non-league scene, or are you looking to go that little bit further into the pro game as well eventually?
Yeah, so really interesting question, on the basis that actually my belief with this is that the pro clubs are actually already doing quite a lot, which is great, especially with those academies. They're helping with the academies and they're helping those players that don't make it through those academies. Now, we all know that that's a very small percentage of people. So my sort of vision was that if we can start at the bottom and work up, it will have a greater impact. Now, on that basis, there are 17,000 grassroots clubs in the country. Recent figures released, actually, I think it's now 18,000. And the stats also tell us that through those 17,000 grassroots clubs, 13.5 million people actively play football every single week. So that's a huge number of people that I felt if we can find a vehicle that can start to raise the awareness and the conversation around mental health and wellbeing within their football clubs, we're going to impact millions of people every week. And so it needed that vehicle. So what we are doing at Tackle This Together, the mission for us is to help as many as possible of the 17,000 grassroots football clubs implement a mental health first aider. And we've partnered with Mental Health First Aid England, who are Europe's biggest organisation for doing mental health first aid training. And as an organisation, we are actually registered as a community interest company as well. So as an organisation, we are looking to help the 17,000 grassroots clubs, first of all, implement the mental health first aid into their organisation, help them identify who the right person is to do that. But for me, that's kind of just the vehicle, but the actual bigger mission is that we are raising that awareness, increasing the conversation, providing support, and even giving education to the communities within grassroots football. That's kind of in a nutshell what we're looking to do.
Have you found much resistance to it, or have you found clubs have been really like pleased that someone's actually taken this on board and wants to try and push it forward?
Yeah, it's a great question again. And we've officially launched in 2 weeks' time. That's when the first training courses will be available for clubs to book onto. Very much so indeed.
Bringing you the latest exclusives as per usual.
Exactly that, and very apt as well, obviously, with it being Mental Health Awareness Week as well. So even better there. So, yeah, look. Obviously, we're a new organisation, but this is a journey I've been on for 2 years, and I've done a ton of research. I've even met with some of the county FAs about it to understand what the FA are doing. I've met with some of the leagues to understand what they're doing. And it's part of that journey that made me realise that, sadly, not a lot is being done. And I'm not saying that nothing's being done. There are some amazing clubs that are doing some amazing things. And they take it upon themselves to make sure there is a lot of awareness and a lot of support around this topic within their grassroots club. But on the basis that I feel that there's this opportunity to kind of create a movement, which is really what we're looking to do. I've done a lot of research, and in that research, I have spoken to the leagues, the FA, and I've spoken to clubs. I've not had a negative response. And out of all the clubs that I've initially spoken to invite them onto the pilot, we have 100% success rate of people committing to going on the first courses when they go live.
It's been a little bit since I've sort of been involved in the admin side of the game. A couple of years, 2 or 3 years since I was at WIC. But as I was growing up, I did a lot with one of the youth leagues down in the south called the Tandridge League, which you might have heard of, which spreads around quite well in that. And I can remember from those days, there was a lot of talk of you had to have a welfare officer or welfare person and that. But when you tend to go that higher up the ladder, it seems to have been there's that forgotten bit in the middle, which I think is where you're trying to aim for. And that is there still that, I suppose the idea that you should have one and it should be all the way through right to the very top.
Yeah, I think. What could potentially happen, you know, I guess, again, when I kind of looked at this idea nearly 2 years ago now, things that dropped into my head were, OK, well, you have to have a first aider by law in a football club. So you have to have your safeguarding officer. So why not now? Should you not have to have a mental health first aider at every level now? Admin wise, it becomes a task. Of course, we're asking somebody else to volunteer to commit and to lead the charge as such. But that's the whole point of Tackle This Together. So as an organization, we will support that person to help them raise the awareness and raise the conversation. Now, if you were to ask them to take it on themselves, you know, they're not necessarily going to get the right guidance, take the right approaches, use the right resources, have all of the right content and resources available to them. And so, for example, Tackle This Together has a club portal. So when a club can register with us and they can go into the club portal and they can take out resources, content, whether that's a session they might want to run with some of the players at a senior level or some of the players and the parents at a youth level. That could be something maybe even around social media. So we're working with other organisations to provide sort of, you know, how children should manage themselves with social media and things like that, which we all know impact their mental health. So from an admin perspective, the idea is that we take a lot of that on for them and we support them with that. But yeah, I guess to answer your question, you know, like my ambition, my dream, my passion is that I feel that like a safeguarding officer and like a standard, you know, first aider, this should become the norm in a club. And, you know, maybe one day the FA will do that. And, you know, if they do, then amazing and brilliant, because they're the people saying you have to do it. And hopefully just in the interim, I can help get that movement going.
Ross, one of the things we've noticed on the podcast and we've mentioned throughout the season is that there's been a lot of abuse towards referees, especially at grassroots level. Is this something you're looking at getting involved with? And like, you know, because the FA have said they're struggling and they're struggling for future generations to get referees and the game can't go on without referees. So is this something you're looking into and might progress into in the future?
Yeah, I agree with what you say, and some of the stuff that you see now that goes out on social is just, you know, really, really sad to see. Ultimately, to answer your question, initially, this is obviously focused at a grassroots club having someone within their organisation who is going to champion mental health and wellbeing. And then off of the back of that, there will be numerous topics and, as I mentioned before, resources that could be used and leveraged. And ultimately, we wouldn't stop at any conversation or topic of encouraging a club to have conversations about that. And, you know, definitely there's something we could do with working with the referees and the associations to, you know, highlight their well-being and their mental health and how they're being affected, because they are. They're, you know, look, I'm a coach myself at a senior level of football. I stand on a sideline, you know, we all see it. And, you know, it needs to be addressed. And I think there are various things that I've seen of late that could be actually utilised that could help the situation. But I definitely wouldn't stop at Tackle This Together having pieces and support for that side of it and the referee side of it. And that's what I love about this, is it's going to evolve, right? At the moment, right, as I mentioned, there needed to be a vehicle, and that's the way I explain it, which is someone within the club who can help us to raise awareness in every club, because I couldn't do it. I can't go out to 17,000 clubs and to support each and every one of them. So I'm kind of, you know, asking for someone within each of the clubs to take that on, and then we will support them with the rest, and we will help that then evolve, and it can evolve in so many ways. And we've got some amazing partners already. We've partnered with Macron, so they're
modeling a very fine hoodie right there right now.
Exactly. I am indeed. sent me a ton of gear with the logo on, which is great. And you know, part of that partnership is we're looking that the person who is a mental health first aider in the club, they will get, you know, from Macron a t-shirt that highlights that if they ever want to use it, etc. Just little things like that is going to raise the awareness.
Brilliant.
Right, that's already, you know, why is that person wearing that t-shirt? What does Tackle This Together mean? What's a mental health first aider? It just already raises questions, right? So and as I said earlier, we are supporting them highlight who is the right person for this role. So that's where it all starts, is, you know, it's not a case of, hey, you must have a mental health first aider because that's what we believe, just put someone in place. We want to support the club in explaining to their community who it should be and why it should be that person, the type of person who might be interested. And we're also obviously helping with the funding, because for the person to go on the course, there needs to be funding. So there will be funding possibilities that they can leverage from us in the future, talking to the likes of Sport England and things like that. I've even got conversations with some great sports brands who are looking to jump on board and potentially fund things like that. But that's a little way off. Until then, we've got fundraising ideas as to how a club can raise the small funds that are needed to put someone on the course.
Ross, am I right? You've got a couple of higher profile people that have supported some stuff you've done so far?
Yes, you are. You are. To be revealed. All to be revealed. That's not an exclusive you're going to get, Trev.
Well, I think there's a couple of things I've seen across Twitter. That's why I asked the question.
Yeah. I mean, Yes, there is some conversations in the pipeline with some great ambassadors, let's put it that way. And, you know, for me, again, that's all part and parcel of this being a success and having the impact that I want it to have on people positively. You know, to be able to sit back and think that potentially we can impact 13.5 million people. You know, so here's a stat, right? So one in six people suffer with some form of mental health or well-being within any given week. So if there are 13.5 million people playing football every week through these 17,000 grassroots, you know, one in six of those 13 million people, you know, you can do the maths. That's a lot of people that we could have a positive impact on. So for me, part of it is having the right people who are just as passionate about me to support this, but hopefully high profile so they can help raise the stakes a little bit. And I think also, though, one of the things that Tackle This Together also is going to become is kind of like a social channel that football related people can engage and relate with. So we will have content on there that's not just about mental health and well-being. There will be football content, but we will be interviewing and speaking with people who have potentially had problems themselves, suffered themselves, and they will all get released on the social channels as well. So then hopefully, you know, players at my club, Broadbridge Heath, can sit and watch that and relate to it and think, I'm not alone here.
So if anyone wants to get in touch with you straight away, Ross, how can they do that?
Yeah, so there are social channels out there which are Tackle This Together on Instagram and YouTube, and Twitter is Tackle This Two, T-O, because of, they don't want me to have any more letters than that. Also, the website is live. It is www.tacklethistogether.co.uk, and you can register your interest for mental health first aid courses or to register for the portal for when that goes live in a couple of weeks. And then in 2 weeks' time, the dates will be revealed for the first courses.
Brilliant stuff. Lovely. Thanks for coming on, Ross. Hope you have a great launch in 2 weeks' time and everything goes swimmingly, and we'll see if we can get you back on next year as well to see how much progress you've managed to come in about 6 months or so.
Yeah, cheers, chaps. Listen, I really appreciate the support, you know, so thank you very, very much for giving me the opportunity to talk about it.
Good luck in the cup final.
Yeah.
Yes, come on the Bears.
Do the double, mate. Do the double.
Good luck there.
Cheers, guys. Thanks very much.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Are you PNLP?
There we go. It's good to speak to Ross there and hear about this charity. And, you know, good luck to Broadbridge and the RUR. Well, you'll know the result by the time this is out because this comes out on Friday. So you can go on Google and see who won. Guys, there's been a hell of a lot of changes in non-league realms as of late. We've had managers. One of the ones that shocked me was Mark Stimpson leaving Hornchurch. After all those years, obviously Hornchurch got to playoff final. Pete's run away with putting his finger up. I don't know what it's about, but... he's putting his lights on. I thought he was going to bring Mark Stimpson in. I thought he was in his toilet there. He's going to unlock the door. Oh, here's Mark. There we go. the comments I gathered from it is it needed to be done to try and get Hornchurch to where they deserve to be in a National League South. Do you think it was a difficult conversation the chairman had to have with him? I mean, what do you guys think of that decision?
I'll go, shall I?
Go on then.
Why not?
I'm a bit surprised, bit not surprised. I mean, they were, whatever it was, 5 or 7 points clear at one stage with about 3 games in hand. So they were well on course to go up. Spent a rumoured £40,000 on Adi Youssef from Folkestone, which gave them him, Chris Dixon, Liam Nash and Sam Higgins up front. 4 bloody potent strikers and 2 playoff final defeats in 2 years. You know, a trophy, an FA trophy success only buys you so much these days. You know, if you've got a budget that size, you've got to be winning promotion, however you do it.
I'm gonna throw something in here. The game, they were top of the table when they played Horsham. There was a very controversial decision in that game. And whether that got into their heads or their psyche, they lost that game in the end. Whether that got into their heads, Because from there, obviously, Bishop Stortford picked up the mantle and went on to win it. So do you think that's had some sort of effect on them?
Possibly, but I think they'd lost it a couple of games before that. Like I say, they were well clear and it didn't look as if... I thought Stortford actually, after the way at the end of last year, they went, you know, well, we'd have, you know, we'd have top worthy without any shadow of a doubt, and they were struggling, looking like they were going to make the playoffs this year. Then I was surprised Hornchurch had got themselves so clear. But to then go and spend the rumoured 40 grand on a striker and it still didn't get you up. I mean, I watched their semi-final against Cray and, you know, the difference in resources between the two, they should have been streets away, but they had to settle for a win on penalties, having been 2-0 up and 3-2 up. So whether there was a bit of complacency set in, I don't know. They actually, I mean, I watched them at Hastings as well in January, and they were very good that day as well. I mean, Hastings are no slouchers this year either. So I'm not surprised. I mean, he's been there, I think, 5 years, Stimmo. So it is a long time these days at any for any one club. But that's the pressure of being a manager these days. You've got a budget.
Yeah.
Got to get your team up, haven't you, Chris?
You have.
You see it at all levels, though, don't you? You see a manager there for 4, 5, 6, 7 seasons, and then they do take the club as far as they can physically take them. And it is hard sometimes to make that decision, but
100%.
Ultimately, I think that's where the chairman's job is to go, right, you've taken this club as far as you can take it. I need to make that decision. Sorry, you're gone.
Could go one of two ways,
especially,
couldn't it?
I was going to say, especially if you're giving them that sort of money to bring somebody in, you know, that sort of budget, and you know, and if they don't achieve the target, like if South Shields hadn't gone up this season, then, or they were lagging behind, well behind in the table, then Kevin Phillips might have been gone at Christmas or something if they'd have been lagging behind with the budget. Yeah. So there's loads of different scenarios you can look at, really, isn't there?
That's true. Well, it could go one of two ways. You know, it could be good for the club, and it could bring them forward, or it could bring them down. That's always what happens when a manager changes. So that'll be an interesting one to see next season.
It'll also be interesting because Trevor mentioned Hastings with old John Meaney and...
Well, I was going to come on to that in a second. Another change.
sorry. With them two sort of moving on from Hastings.
Gary Elphick,
yeah.
Isn't that the one you chased around the pitch after we beat them in Senior Cup, mate? Oh, that was Meaney, wasn't it?
Meaney.
Yeah, you were Meaney.
I spoke to John Meaney. I got an interview with him on the Rebel Yell radio.
And lost all his listeners.
No, John Meaney's brilliant. And the thing is with John Meaney...
You can get him back on the next season,
can't
you?
He's so tactical. Trevor, no, he's obviously spoke to him.
Yeah, very.
He's so tactical and so in-depth about the game. And he starts going on about... this sat and server about to go, and he's like, hold on, mate, you've lost me. thanks. Yeah, I'm like, thanks for that, John. I'll see you,
see you later.
After.
Yeah. Well, talking about Hastings, Billy Wood, the chair, who, Trevor, we were talking offline, and we're going to maybe try and get him on for either a PNLP Live next season as an owner or a summer special. But that ain't going to happen now because, well, we could still get him on, but it'd be interesting to hear. I mean, maybe we could as a tell-all if he's allowed to do it. Maybe we could try him. So he's been, Pete, me and you had him on that podcast where we first met you, Trev, didn't we? Probably the lockdown one, and he was very open about that. So I'm sure he'd like to come on. But weird thing is there, he's obviously Hastings female women's manager, and he's already signed to go to Hayward Heath's women's manager, which a lot of fans have said, well, is your heart in it? And he's tweeted saying he is. But I wonder what's gone on there, because he, as Gaz, we laughed, didn't we? He's putting on cryptic tweets going, all good things must come to an end and stuff on his Twitter and all that lot. I mean, is there turmoil behind the scenes at Hastings? Because they're to be without a ground, aren't they?
No. I did speak to someone actually last week about it. I mean, I know personally that he's just opened a new nightclub in Hastings as well. Music's his other big passion, which I knew about when he was at Eastbourne United as well. So that's obviously taken up a lot of his time. So I think just priorities have changed a little bit. But I think they've had a few planning issues with the new ground they want to build at. I think it's called Kiln Brow, sort of out towards halfway between Hastings and Battle. I think they looked at going to Eastbourne Borough for a year, because I'm assuming the pilot field is getting to the point, a bit like Roots Hall at Southend, you've got to keep chucking a sticking plaster over something to get a safety certificate each year, and then you keep having to spend a bit more. So I think they looked at Eastbourne Borough, but then you lose your income, you lose sponsorship, you lose all sorts of absolutely everything. So I think they decided to stick at the pilot field. And I'm not sure whether Billy just sort of decided that they're not now going forward off the pitch. It's now starting to go sideways, whereas football's still growing, which we've seen and evidenced where they finished this year after winning the league last year. And maybe he doesn't think that he can be part of anything to go further forward.
I thought they might have done back-to-back promotions. Didn't you think that?
I thought they were going to be one of the 12 that thought they could be in the playoffs or win it last year. Possibly not the winning for them, but they would have been in that mix. And they weren't too far away, really. I mean, you think they get 1,000 every week as well. You know, their attendances are really good. But they need that drive off the pitch as well to go with it. And that was part of the reason I think he left Eastbourne United to go to Hastings as well, because there wasn't that progression there. So maybe that's what he's found.
Can you see him being a chair of another club, or do you think it's just going to be the women's management at the moment?
Wouldn't surprise me in the future if he does.
Hastings? Hayward Teeth.
Could be anywhere, couldn't it?
Because they've just been relegated, haven't they? And they lost the interdivisional playoffs, which is a surprise because they were right up there last season, weren't they? Weren't they in the playoffs? But that one thing I noticed when I was skimming through the National League, non-league paper, is that apparently the interdivisional playoffs are ending. This is the last season of them. Right thing or wrong thing? Because I quite like interdivisional. You think it's right? Because I've always loved them in Germany where they do the interdivisional relegation. I thought it just adds a little bit of extra to the relegation and promotion race. I mean, why do you think it's the right thing, mate? Just out of interest.
One, it was the only level it ever happened at. Everyone else had 14 playoffs. And two, the Step 4 side got the home draw, yet the Step 5 side that's had the better season has got to travel to their opposition that have had a shit year. And the opposition have got home advantage. They should have been the Step 4 side. So you've had a crap year. You're in a relegation playoff. You get made to travel to the Step 5 club. Mm-hmm. The Step 5 clubs are really well supported side, 500 plus every week. You know, the pressure's on the Step 4 side to get themselves out of the mess, not give them home advantage and their own support behind them.
It's a cushy number.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll agree with that.
Doing it.
You've got a fair point. It's good to hear from that angle. I'd not thought of that, to be honest.
And if you look as well, the way the Step 5 clubs, if you look at, say, possibly the Southern Counties East, Erith and Belvedere were 20 points clear at one stage at the top. So everyone's playing for a second place to go up with points per game, which you've got to be better than the other 16 leagues at that level to go up. So if you'd have had 14 playoff underneath that, I guarantee you there's a few clubs that finishing down in between 8 and 12 that would have been in contention because they knew that they could, you know, if they lost a couple of games, that was it. That would have been done. There's a couple of clubs in there, like Tunbridge Wells, quite well supported. Phoenix Sports got there in the end. Deal should have been in the mix. Whitstable, you know, some well-supported clubs in that Kent Kent League that weren't going to get anywhere near even a chance of going up. So it's right, as everyone else has it up and down the country, except Step 4 and 5.
No, fair point. I generally not thought of it like that, so it's fair point, mate, actually. I mean, I do love it. I do love it. You do speak sense sometimes. Sometimes, I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. I do quite like it in Germany and stuff like that, you know, where they do the piss off Pete. I was going to say something worse there, but I won't get taken off the air and on Acast get turned down to an explicit podcast. I do quite like it, but it gets it. But those points you're going through, especially at non-league level, just isn't right. So, yeah, fair play. Just before we move on from playoffs completely, Chris, the National League North playoffs, were you surprised at the result there?
Absolutely. You know, a massive budget that Kings Lynn had, and they've ballsed it up, you know. Means that budgets don't mean everything, do they?
No. It's funny. Do you think, I would say the playoffs are a complete lottery? And I think that proves it, doesn't it? It really does prove it.
Of course it does. And it's why, you know, not just are we delighted that Notts County are in the Football League because it levels the playing field. It's actually justice was done, wasn't it? You know?
Yeah.
Over 100 points, you know, if they hadn't gone up, goodness me.
Do you think that would be one of the teams you have to keep an eye on next season?
Kings Lynn?
Yeah, they haven't gone up.
Oh, yeah. Well, the chairman will, I'm sure, have no doubt, pour more money, you know, into the budget and make them one of the favourites again. He's got his own, in his own world, isn't he? He lives,
yeah.
Legend in his own,
yeah.
His own belief.
And I guess
he believes his own hype, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Steve Cleave, is it?
Stephen Cleave, yeah.
Yeah.
He does Cleave, make some good points occasionally. I'll have to say, I do follow him on Twitter, and there are the odd ones, but you see some of them and you think, no.
No. No. And speaking of those regional, the interleague playoffs, you know, Ashington did well. Ashington from the Northern League. And they've got themselves a win in the interdivisional playoffs. So they are a well-supported club. And again, yeah. So they've come from step five and beaten the step four team against the odds, really.
Yeah, fair play to them.
To be fair, quite a few actually did this year, didn't they?
Yeah.
The first year, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
They've actually you know, gone in favour.
They maybe thought it's their last ever chance. So if they don't go up for promotion, they've got to pull their finger out because it's their last chance to do it.
Yeah, another team we haven't mentioned is obviously congratulations to Kidderminster.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just down the road from where I used to be. So, yeah.
You're going to support them now as well? You're going to support them now?
No, I've got my Midlands team, Elf Church, that I follow. And I've always kept my eye on Bromsgrove and Kidderminster as well. So I'm pleased for Kidderminster.
I think the last thing we've got to touch on the playoffs, John Bostock, what the hell were you doing? I mean, you have the opportunity. I mean, they did in the end, obviously Notts County, but what an idiot. Like, you don't do a Panenka as you're trying to like bloody put them into the bloody football league. What the hell was he thinking? Was he just trying to showboat too much?
I think he was thinking, I've scored the free kick to get us here, let me have a little. Is I think he got a bit too Billy Big Balls. There you go. Nearly got us in trouble again then.
I don't think bollocks is that bad, mate. I'll say it for you.
I think he got a little bit too big for his boots, shall we say.
Can you imagine, though? Can you imagine if Notts County had gone on to lose that? How annoyed as a fan you would have been. All he needed to do was play a normal penalty, probably 99% of the time. We saw if he'd shot it that way, he'd beaten the keeper. So what he was doing, bloody hell. If I was in that stand, I can imagine the word C-word must have been used quite a few times when and I'm talking about...
I think when you look at it, I think if you had just turned into the playoffs for the National League, you'd have gone, how the hell are Notts County here? Like, it was nuts and it was absolutely crazy. If that's all you watched of the National League season, you'd have been like, oh, how have these guys got promoted?
His blonde hair looked worse than when I had blonde hair anyway, didn't it? Or not?
No.
Well, you were at the school that the girl was doing it with me, if I'm Gareth, so you could have stopped her.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, you laughed.
It was a freebie, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Bored in the pandemic, friend goes, can I dye your hair? Yeah, all right. Doesn't look like a ginger ninja for a while. Anyway, moving on, not talking about hair.
I haven't got much of it left.
Yeah. She burnt it all off, mate.
I was going to say, those two National League games involving Notts County, they're a brilliant advert for non-league football.
Oh, yeah. That's what
everyone says. And, you know, I think a lot more people who have watched that and then never watched non-league before will probably go, hold on a minute, might have a look at this.
I just think it's going to be more and more popular as you go on and on, don't you? I really do. And to hear the silky voice of Adam Summerton, if you haven't listened to our summer special from last year, it was so nice. And to hear him like commentating on those non-league games is brilliant, on which will soon be called TNT Sport from next year. The Americans are creeping in again.
I actually watched that whole playoff semi-final day with my father-in-law, and at the end of the day, I can't believe I've spent the whole day watching non-league football. I never thought that would happen.
Yeah, you got a new fan.
Yeah,
and I hope you told him about our back catalogue of podcasts, mate, so you can spend the whole next thing listening to this. No, we move on. A couple of things before we sort of start wrapping up. A couple of new clubs and ownerships are emerging. The new club in terms of Bury FC merging with Bury AFC. Finally got the vote through to merge them. Mm-hmm. Chris, from being up north, what I mean, I'm pleased because my wife's from Bury, so it's nice to see. And I've driven past that ground many a time, and you know, it's just a travesty to see the club go out of business the way it did. Yeah. Chris, from being up north, are you happy to see that finally?
Yeah, it makes sense. You know, good for.
Why did it not happen the first time? Does anyone? I don't know if you touched it. Does anyone? Yeah, is it just
there's a bit of wrangling off the pitch?
From, ownership bits and bobs.
Yeah, from Bury, rather than Bury AFC, but I think they were a bit too concerned that Bury AFC were just going to come in and take over everything, and there was more constructive talk about, you know, it needs the interaction of both and the integration of both to do this and to do that. And I think that's what moved it along in the end.
Yeah, but it's great to see. And what league are they actually currently? What, are they staying in the league that AFC Bury are in, or Bury AFC are in? Is that the league they're staying in, the Northwest Counties?
Northwest Counties League.
Is that where they're going to stay?
They have to. Bury
didn't even play, did they?
No, Bury exists as a ground. The AFC exists as a club.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. Yeah.
And
no,
you've got
a very
sure,
different
team at Gig Lane.
No, that's good. Well,
yeah, Northwest County's Premier.
Well, we tried to get someone from Bury AFC on, I think, last summer or the summer before when they formed, and they never sort of replied to us. So maybe we'll try this time. They might be a bit more willing to come on. It'd be interesting to maybe do a summer special with them and just talk about the whole process. So if you're listening to this, or you know anyone that works or is part of Bury FC now, please put them in touch with us via our socials at the PNLP, because we really would like to maybe talk and hear the story of the reforming of the club. One other thing, Yeovil Town under new ownership, obviously down in the National League South now, which is crazy. As I said on the last podcast, 10 years ago, I was watching them. Charlton played them in League One away day down at Huish Park, which is apparently falling apart as well. And his new owner, I noticed on, I don't know if you guys saw on Twitter the other night, he wrote something down on his notepad and things in 5 minutes that he's apparently going to do. Now, is that too brash, like, to reveal his plans straight away? Like, saying he's going to do this, 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 and this. It's like, hang on, mate. Is it just someone trying to get his name out there and it's going to be a flash git, or is he going to be good for the club?
You hope he's not going to be flash.
Yeah. Have you seen it, Trev?
No,
basically,
he about David Hilton at Scunthorpe this week.
No, he just tweeted the other day, like, right, this is what I've come up with in 5 minutes. Like, I'm going to spend 150 grand on this. I'm going to demolish the stand, put a roof over the stand, all within my first season. So it's like, hang on a second.
He might want to get a competitive football team on the pitch first.
They just announced their retain list, haven't they?
Yeah. They've been slow with that. They're miles behind. That's the problem as well, is that it's put them, I mean, Southend are in the same boat as well. They haven't done any summer business yet, so there's no point. You can talk to as many players and agents as you want, but if you can't promise them anything, they'll look elsewhere. You'll be the last ones on the list, a bit like we were last summer and the summer before.
There is something that we said is Jordan McGuire-Drew will be returning back to Worthing Football Club this season, because he's been retained.
He's not returning back.
No, he will be returning back.
I thought you meant as a player.
No.
Where have you heard this from? I was like, Jesus.
I wouldn't. Yeah. If I had anything, I wouldn't share it. But yeah, no. He's under contract at Yeovil, staying next season as well. So
yeah. Well, one that people are saying is Omar Bugil has been released from Sutton, and a lot of our fans are saying, could it be? Could Hinch try and get Omar back? But I think from what I gather online, is he wants sort of more higher level. But you never know. Weird things have happened. Dorkin. Well, I did see Mark at our playoff semi-final, and I messaged him. I say, good teammate. He goes, well, that match was shit, wasn't it? Cheers, Mark. Mince your words as usual. I mean, he wasn't far wrong, to be fair, but, you know, he does. But I said to him, you're not here to nick all our players, are you? He goes, no, mate, here to watch your manager. I was like, what's that meant to mean? I think one of the things we got to touch on, as we mentioned it briefly, is the league allocation. Obviously, Chris, as we said, you might be visiting us sooner rather than later, because a visit to Bishop Stortford, which we're not a massive fan of Bishop Stortford, are we, Pete? The way they acted in the sort of Isthmian League last year.
The giant sandpit.
Yeah, the sandpit. And then their manager saying they were the best team in the league. Well, if you're the best team in the league, mate, why are you not being promoted?
Why didn't you win it?
By 10 points or whatever it was. Yeah, that's not the best team in the league. It's not like you won on the last day. But Chris, what are your thoughts on that? Because I looked at the map today. I was just strolling through doing a bit of prep, and it's pretty much like the National League Southwest plus a couple of South teams. And it's like the National League, London and above.
Yeah, well, you reap what you sow, and this goes back to the 1980s when the likes of the Northern League refused to become a feeder for the conference and upper leagues. So you had this saturation of clubs from the south, the southwest, and the northwest. If you look at the Northern Premier League, for instance, there's such a saturation of teams from Greater Manchester and the surrounding area, Lancashire, etc. Purely because the Northeast teams didn't show, and well, Northern League teams were advised by the hierarchy not to show any intention of wanting to progress. They were kind of told to stay where you are. And so now, of course, we're seeing clubs coming into the Trident level from the Northern League, but it's going to take time to kind of find its level. So eventually the line between North and South will rise, but it's going to take a few years yet. So if you look at the Northern Premier League now, there's a lot more Northeast teams in the Northern Premier League, but it's 30 years later. So we're currently in the case where we're playing catch-up. If you look at the Northern Premier League, and if you look at the Northern Premier League Premier and then East, you'll see that there's a lot more Northeast teams making their way up. But until they then get promoted into the National League level, you're going to see this line being drawn where it is. But it all stems from what happened 30 to 40 years ago, I'm afraid.
Yeah. It's I'd rather be a fan in National South. So when we complain about having to go all the way to Plymouth Parkway's ground to play Truro next season. Is it Truro, yeah. I think? Yeah, and all those, sure. I don't envy you, Chris. It's got to go down to possibly on a Tuesday night, Bishop Stortford.
Not too bad being full-time.
No.
Yeah,
no.
For the players.
I'm talking about the fans more. Like
fans, yes. But one thing I would say is that I'm kind of in the middle rather than being angry, because it's just going to be lovely not having to go over the M62 15 times a season, which is kind of you know, that blooming league, you know, the blooming M62, you know, it's just a nightmare. And just being able to stay on the A1 and the M1 will feel like a bit of a novelty.
But I've driven that A1 and that M1 a lot of times, and it just seems to go on and on and on and on and on and on.
So does the M62, guys, because it's just a massive car park.
Yeah.
Before their roadworks.
And then you have the delight of the M60 ring road, which on a Saturday lunchtime can be a nightmare. So if you're going to places like Warrington, which we will go to, of course, but at least it's only once rather than, as I say, what's felt like 15 times a season.
So Pete and I were having a chat about it before everyone else come on. And I've spoken to a few people on Twitter today. I've written a blog piece up tonight as well on it, that unless you end up with, because a lot of people were going, were like, you know, moaning about where Bishop Stortford were going. And I'm like, that's great, but what's the solution then? And then someone else went, more regionalisation. And I went,
no.
So that would mean you'd want a National League South, Midland and North. So you'll want six teams relegated from the National League, or you're going to have champions of three going up, and then the playoffs will be between the second place teams in three divisions, and only one goes up from that. You're going to dilute it. The problem is, the higher you go up, you've got to travel. You know, if you should make it into the National League, they're going to moan about how many Northern clubs they've got to play then. Is it our fault the South was shit in the National League this year?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's it.
No, you're right.
It could have been, you know, it could have been Gateshead, York.
Yeah.
You know,
It could have been Maidenhead. It could have been all four Southern teams.
That's right. So it could have. So.
Because you can't split the country in four exactly as it goes, occasionally you've got to bite the bullet the higher up you go. When it goes a bit lower down and they've started moving clubs around, that's a bit of a no-no. And if there's no real logical reason for doing it, why do it? I mean, I've seen some of the projections I saw put Jersey Falls into the Southern Combination, into Sussex, which the only reason I saw was being the fly into Gatwick makes it easier for every team, as it was Horndean got put into there when I think they were expecting the Southern League, being in Hampshire, everything that way to them. Instead, they're coming everything this way and up into Kent. So I haven't seen they're going to appeal against it, but logistically wise, you'd have thought they'd have gone to the Southern. But how much impact Met Police's voluntary relegation from the Southern League at step three into four put them into the Isthmian and then shunted everyone across? One team might have caused seven or eight to end up not where they wanted to, but
yeah,
you just can't please everyone.
But it is what it is. Trev.
Yeah, I did say to Pete though, and I put in the blog piece as well, there should be some kind of fund that the FA have got to say, look, we can't do anything about this, but we'll subsidise 50% of your travel costs for the inconvenience for this year. You're first on the list next year to go back to the South, if it's possible, but we can't control what 24 National League teams do and finish in the relegation zone.
That's right.
What do you want to do? Go back and play in the Essex League?
Yeah.
That's right. So next season, we're looking for Gateshead, York and Hartlepool to be relegated.
Well, I think Rochdale maybe might be down there as well.
Yeah.
Might be four Northern sides next year. Who knows?
Never know. Well, we're looking forward to West Country Tour, aren't we, Pete, anyway? I think there's hopefully a few overnighters.
Oh. I hate cider as well.
Guarantee you'll get Torquay. Yeah.
On a Tuesday night.
Well, that's what happened
with Weybridge, didn't it? Weymouth. Both games were Tuesday nights for them and us.
You imagine if it's Dover versus Truro on a Tuesday night?
Hopefully, Pete still can't get over it. As many times as I said, the Dover fans are nice. It's their chairman that's an arsehole.
Yeah. As long as Dover are away and it gets postponed when they're half an hour from the ground, I'll be cheering.
Oh, Pete, there you go.
Pete!
Sorry, this is the argument I've had with him. Whenever I used to go on Rebel Yell and say, like, words like this and stuff, he'd have a go at me. He's sworn about 50 times on Rebel Yell this season, and he's just done it on the Premier Non-League podcast, so I'm going to have to bleep that. It makes my editing life. Do you want to edit this, Pete? Anyway, before Acast take us off and put us on explicit content so no one will find us, it'll be for all the pornos soon. Anyway, we better wrap this up.
Good fun to try and find, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, can you imagine? What's this? Yeah, watching some like porno thing, and then all of a sudden, like the Premier Non-League podcast pops up in recommended explicit fields. Yeah, all right.
There goes that excitement.
Yeah.
Hear James' dulcet tones.
Oh, here he goes. I don't watch
porn anymore. I've completed it.
I don't want to know. Oh, he completed it. There we go. But anyway. Are any of you guys going to the National League finals this weekend? Finals day? Yeah, I thought you two might. Yep. So I think that's good luck. I mean, can Newport Pagnell make it 2 years out in a row of winning? Obviously, they beat Littlehampton last year. They're facing Ascot United in the Vars. Do you reckon it's going to be a back-to-back from what you know?
I don't know. Ascot won the combined counties.
Yeah.
Newport Pagnell didn't make it up again. From their what are they in? The I can't think what the mid-leaguers are in.
It's got to be some sort of record, isn't it?
There's ultra competitive though, same as it was last year, to get up from that division. So I'm not highly surprised, but I don't think the attendance levels are going to be anywhere near what they were last year. Gateshead have only sold 4,500, so they really should have let Barnet win that semi-final and get to Wembley personally. But
yeah.
They're in the United Counties, by the way.
That's the United Counties, yeah. So I don't think Newport Pagnell and Ascot will get anywhere near the 14,000 that between Newport and Littlehampton managed last year. So I don't think it's going to be a full Wembley by any stretch of the imagination.
We're sat in with Ascot as well, so come on, Ascot.
We are, and Halifax. We're not doing Gateshead.
No,
I'm not doing Gateshead either.
Good lads. We're all Halifax, aren't we?
We are.
Halifax.
Well, I look forward to hearing about it. We'll catch up about you on the next podcast. We've got one more podcast by the end of the season, which we're talking to hopefully another guest on that one. And that'll be us for the season. And we better start emailing and pestering people on Twitter and socials, guys, for some summer specials like we did last year, which will be good.
Who have I got to raid my contact book for this time?
I don't know. I'm thinking Kevin Phillips, as he's promised so much. But why did you leave South Shields and Chris could be there? Chris could be there one on one.
We're bigger than that.
We're bigger than that. That's what she said. We'll be right. If you guys are listening, we know we've got our loyal fans. If you've got any suggestions or something you might like to hear in the summer, do give us a shout on Facebook, social media. We do appreciate the love and support, as you know, at the PNLP. Any shout outs, guys, before we wrap up? Pete, Chris, you normally have something.
Yeah, I will. I will apologise to the proper Dover fans.
Oh, I made him feel guilty now. Yeah. Honestly, hand on heart, Pete. I know you were annoyed.
It's a hierarchy. Yeah. It's a hierarchy.
Yeah, I mean, Barry, our chairman, said he didn't even get the chairman didn't even come say hello to him, and I think that just says something. You know, Barry's a nice guy. I mean, the chairman of Dover didn't even bother come say hello to him when he's in the hospitality before the game. I mean, that just said something. Even if you don't like, I mean, it was all apparently about the hoo ha that happened at the beginning of the season with Dover fans. But again, the chairman didn't let. I mean, they don't have to, but you'd think if you've got fans that travel with you home in a way that cause problems for the club, you might let the club know that you're playing against, that these people might turn up, so don't let them in. But that didn't happen. But to do that, and the fact is they wouldn't let Pete go and do his commentary, they'd just ban him. And it was a Tuesday night, it was a long way to go, but you know, their fans were nice people and they were saying, you know what, Worthing are a really good team, and you know, we're not surprised that you're doing so well. And you know, they're the people you've got to think of in non-league, because you know, if Shields were taken over by an arsehole, if Worthing were taken over by an arsehole, it's not our fault.
No.
It's you know, Barnett's had its ups and downs over the years, hasn't it, Trev? You've
yeah, but we've
the chairman.
Got the same.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say.
But it's not you as a fan, though. It's not you as a fan, though, that people got an issue with. You know, it's you've got to think of the fans. And that's what I always say. Like, I've always been quite vocal towards Pete and said, no, it's not the club. It's just the club hierarchy.
Tony's been good this season. He's backed Dean all the way.
Yeah.
This is where we've finished. Giving him a player every time he's needed it to improve the squad. So,
Yeah.
There's still plenty he can do, but I'm not spending too many bad words on him this season. He doesn't deserve that.
No.
Next year.
Well, guys, enjoy non-league finals day on Sunday. I look forward to hearing all about it. We look forward to coming back for our last episode in a couple of weeks' time. As usual, tweet and follow us on @thePNLP. And the last saying goes, stay safe. Be seeing you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.